Review, The Hunger Games Mockingjay, Part 2 10's revolutionary finale ignores mass democracy. Mary Finch, lead socialist party. The final installment of the Hunger Games movie franchise, Mockingjay, Part 2, was a tense and exciting end to the series. Where Part 1 focused almost exclusively on love triangles and rebels making propaganda films, as filler for lack of plot, Part 2 goes headfirst into a revolutionary war. But the struggle to defend the gains of the oppressed districts' revolution doesn't just stem from the dictatorial capital they rose up against. The film centers on a fight for democracy within the revolutionaries themselves. Their unelected leader, President Coyne, has no accountability, and receives no input from the working-class rebels of the districts. Rather than fighting to defend a mass revolution, she quickly begins to see the war in terms of her own individual power. To this end, she uses the same brutal tactics of the capital, bombing children and civilians, rather than minimizing violence as much as possible. She prevents Katniss, the film's protagonist and symbolic leader of the revolution, from fighting in battle. Instead, she's used as a propaganda figure from the safety and comfort of headquarters. Katniss's frustration with these tactics is immediately obvious. She sneaks onto an aircraft to join the front lines. Once there, she makes an appeal to the supporters of the capital, rather than attacking them. The only fight we have is the one the capital gave us. The same has happened in real revolutions. When 21 capitalist armies invaded Russia after the 1917 revolution, the Bolsheviks appealed to working-class soldiers to fight against the capitalist class instead of for them. The Bolsheviks also organized their military on a democratic basis, under the elected control of soldiers and workers. They defended the revolution on the basis of the whole working class, not individual leaders like Coyne. The battle against President Coyne is also portrayed on a wholly personal basis. Katniss maneuvers against her alone, making no effort to organize the masses of the districts. She makes plans to assassinate President Snow, the dictator in the capital. As if this will be enough to end the war, as if the entire system centers on Snow alone. Killing individual rulers will never create lasting change in society. Individuals can be replaced. We have to fight capitalism on a systematic, class basis, and replace it with socialism, bringing the government and economy under democratic workers' control. This is the only way to break the cycle of oppression, poverty, and war. This is what the Socialist Party fights for.